Next Sunday morning, there'll probably be souls here that don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask every one of you who believe in prayer, each day this week, would you pray a prayer for this coming Sunday service? That that person who comes may be released from bondage, from sin, to serve the God who we can cry out to. Pray for them. Pray each day this week. God knows who's going to be here. We have sent out many letters to our guests who have visited with us in times past. We look forward to a full house. And then I want to ask every one of you another favor. Next Sunday morning on the 11th, our Sunday morning of revival meeting, would you do me a big favor and do yourself, would you be present in Sunday school? You say, well, Pastor, I'm already present in Sunday school. Well, that's already given. But for those of you who may not be a part of Sunday school, would you make it your personal business to be in Sunday school that morning? As we try to have a high attendance day in Sunday school, would you do that? Now, you don't have to answer that, but it's a special, special day as God brings us a wonderful wonderful evangelist. Mark Payton will be with us Sunday. The choir from St. Paul at Shively Heights will be with us that Sunday night. You will not want to miss them. But be here that Sunday morning for high attendance day in Sunday school. Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, Gospel of John chapter 19. And while you're locating that, we're getting close to the cross. This week, this is Palm Sunday, and as we get ready to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know very well what Easter is all about. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you can't have Jesus, you can't have Christianity and Christendom without Christ. And there is no way you can have Christ without the cross, and you can't have Christ and the cross without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Someone wisely said, you try to explain the cross, you'll lose your mind. But you explain away the cross and the crucifixion, and you'll lose your soul. And there are so many things that took place on that Friday, and we'll be celebrating Good Friday and remembering the death of Jesus Christ. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John. And as we look at the crucifixion, the message from the crucifixion this morning, you know, no matter what's going to happen throughout the world, no matter what happens in the universe, one thing can stand for sure, and that's this. You're going to be able to stand through anything and everything in life when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And if something happens, and even you died today, and you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says for that believer who knows Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And there's no way to be present with the Lord without placing your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Gospel of John, chapter 19, let's look in verses 14 through 30. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him unto them, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, one on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there were set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. As you hear the Gospel of John and you read the Gospel of John, one thing is clear, and that's this. For all mankind, there is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the backdrop, there are so many messages that you and I can draw from the crucifixion. So many scenes take place in and around this crucifixion. But as we look at the crucifixion this morning, I want to just share with you some of the messages and the message from the crucifixion. We could take this passage and not only preach for this moment, but preach really for days and days on this passage. But whenever you look at the passage, there are so many things that you and I need to glean and draw from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because there is no way that you and I can have Christ without his crucifixion. As a matter of fact, Scripture makes it very clear that for this hour, Jesus was born. He made it very clear that he came not into the world that the world would receive him, but to his own they didn't receive him. They rejected him. They didn't receive him unto themselves. And he came that he could die as a ransom for many. When John writes and you read Paul's writing and you read the other Gospels, you find so many events and so many scenes behind the crucifixion. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the earth. But I want us to look this morning at just a few things around the crucifixion this morning. What are the messages that you and I see and sense and find around the crucifixion? Well, there is one message that you see and you find. You find it reveals a sin-ravaged society. As you read the backdrop of the cross, you'll find a disciple that betrays Jesus. You'll find Judas Iscariot, who hands him over to the army, to the officials, to the high priest. You'll find a disciple who had been with Jesus. You'll find a sin-ravaged society. Here is Jesus, the sinless Son of God. Jesus in whom not a single person can find guile, and yet everyone from those, just the commoner to the high priest, to Pilate, to all of them, for some reason or the other, they're crying, crucify him. You hear a mob that was crying Hosanna one day, and then just a few days later, you hear them say, crucify him, crucify him. Rather than allow Jesus, the innocent Son of the living God, to go free, you will listen and you'll hear a sin-ravaged society. You'll hear the high priest say, we have no king but Caesar. Because the Bible makes it very clear it was for this hour that Jesus came into the world. You know, the sinless, guiltless life of Jesus. Jesus made it clear. He said, I came that they could have life and have life abundantly. As you look at the message from the cross, you will see two thieves, one on one hand and one on the other. And the people in that hour, they said, we would rather have a commoner, we would rather have a thief, because we don't want to have anything to do with this Jesus. You find a sin-ravaged society. But not just those in the days of Jesus as he was being crucified and the high priest and Pilate and the commoners, but that was the reality. That was why he came. As a matter of fact, you know, even those who sought to betray Jesus, they knew that there was something about him that was so special. As a matter of fact, when Pilate had the inscription written, the King of the Jews, he made it very clear, what I have written, I have written. What I've thought about is how bold he was to say that. But there was no boldness in letting Jesus go free. But the truth about it is, you and I would not want that, because if Jesus had gone free, you would still be in your sins and I would still be in my sins. You know, the backdrop of the cross is a sin-ravaged society. You know, there was a society where wickedness preempted righteousness and religiousness preempted righteousness. The Bible makes it very clear in Jeremiah chapter 17. Man is basically wicked. You and I are not basically good. Mankind is not basically good. You'll hear somebody say sometimes, well, you know, I just believe that mankind is basically good. Listen to me very carefully. The gospel of Jesus Christ is you and me, mankind is basically wicked at the core of their being. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The truth of the crucifixion is that you and I are wicked. The message of the crucifixion is that man all over is wicked. Jesus was born into a sin-ravaged society. You are not basically good. I am not basically good. You and I, mankind as a whole, is basically wicked to the core. Jesus said, the Father said, the Holy Spirit, listen, the heart is deceitfully wicked. You listen and you look and you find that in our day and time. You find people, it's so easy to tell a lie because it helps their situation. It helps their cause. You and I look around us and we see a sin-ravaged society. That was the way it was in Jesus' day. It was a sin-ravaged society. People were not interested in worshiping God the Father truly. They worshiped Him out of ritual, but they rejected His only Son. Paul made it very clear in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then he ends it with, of whom I'm chief. The entire message of the crucifixion of Christ is that we are living in a sin-ravaged society. Sometimes somebody will say, what in the world has gone wrong with the world? Sin. Sin is what's wrong with mankind. We don't need a moral help. We don't need a moral fix. We need a redeemer. We need somebody to rescue us from ourselves. Look at our world. We're on a collision course with destruction. Where will America be 200 years from now? Where will the world be? Did you know the history of societies is this? That the average healthy society only lasts for 200 years. The average healthy society. And we've gone over that. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:12, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, sometimes we just miss the message of the crucifixion. It's not a pretty picture. Now, you see people wearing crosses, and that's a wonderful reminder of the crucifixion. But lest you and I forget, the crucifixion was not a pretty sight. It was the means and the place of execution. It was the place where the criminals, the murderers, the wicked would be taken, and they would be crucified, and they would be left to die. And then they would be buried in a criminal's grave. Literally and specifically, the Bible says that Jesus just didn't die for our sins. But the Bible says He became sin. Whatever and however wicked man has been and will be, Jesus became the full embodiment so you would not have to die apart from God. You would not have to die apart from Christ, because the Bible says you are desperately wicked. I am desperately wicked in our basic nature. You see, we don't want to accept that about ourselves, but if you're going to ever be redeemed, you've got to accept that. If you never accept that, you will find at the end of your life there is something that you've missed out on, and you'll find it's eternal life because you was never honest with yourself about your need for God. You know, the fact is that all of our lives, your life, my life, all of mankind's life is wicked. You know, you can never not really appreciate the crucifixion until you own up to the fact you're wicked to the core. You see, we don't like to say that to ourselves. We don't like to admit that we're wicked to the core. If you cannot say that and don't want to say that, the Bible says we've deceived ourselves. You see, it reveals a sin-ravaged society. Here is Jesus Christ, the only perfect life that ever walked on the face of the earth, and everybody is out to do Him in. One of His disciples betrays Him, but that's as Scripture declared. He came into His own, the Bible says. His own people didn't want to have anything to do with Him. And sometimes we think about in our Christian life, you think, well, you know, if I'm going to serve God, why is everything not going right? The Bible says those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. because this society, this world doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. You know, you find a sin-ravaged society. Jesus knew exactly why he came. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident that he died on a cross. It wasn't an accident that he was crucified. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no forgiveness of sin. You cannot be forgiven of your sins unless somebody dies to pay for that sin by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, what Peter says in his letter. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Now, if you think the cross is foolishness, let me tell you what's going to happen to your life after this life is over. You're going to perish. Paul says to those people who don't believe in the gospel, who think the cross is foolishness, the Bible says those are the ones that are perishing. If to you the cross is foolish, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is foolish, find yourself in 1 Corinthians 1:18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish." You see, the Bible says that there's going to be a massive, massive folk who perish. You know, when you look at the cross, you find the message of a sin-ravaged society. When you look at the crucifixion, you find people that were deceit and trickery and deception. You find lying and conniving and all of that. But it didn't stop Jesus from taking the cross because it was for sin that he died. Second of all, it reveals that all sin and sinners must be executed. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death," or Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." If you want to get an idea how God must treat your sin and my sin, look at the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible makes it very clear in Matthew 27, verse 46, Jesus is dying. When Jesus became sin, listen to what he says. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became your sin. Every wicked, vile thing that's ever gone on in your mind, in your life, in your body, everything you've ever been a part of, wicked and ungodly, and you're wicked, and we're wicked basically by birth. Because that's what the Bible says. We're conceived in iniquity. You're conceived in sin. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why in the world would the Father forsake the Son? Because in that hour, Jesus Christ just didn't die for sin. Listen carefully. The Bible says he became sin for us. He became the complete embodiment of all of your sin. He shows you what must happen to every sinner on the face of the earth. Every sinner and every sin in the sight of the Father must be executed. Watch carefully what Scripture says. Go all the way back to the book of Ezekiel. When Jesus became sin, God executed him. Because listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. Listen to the pronouncement of God through Ezekiel. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The soul that sinneth. What one of us in here has never sinned? Every one of us are sinners. You know, we may not want to say that about ourselves. We don't enjoy it. But God says you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Every one of us are sinners. And the Bible gives this real basic reality of every person that's a sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Whether you're a rich soul, you have a lot of money, you're going to die. Whether you're a aristocratic soul, you have a prominence and power and prestige, you're going to die. Whether you're an intelligent soul, whether you have the capability of doing wonderful on SAT, ACT, or intelligent quotient test, you're going to die. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." When you look at the crucifixion, when you look at the death of Jesus Christ, that is the revelation from God Almighty how he must treat every sin. Every sin and every sinner in the sight of God must be executed. Ezekiel said, the soul that sins must die. The wages of sin is death. And on the Bible says, somewhere down the line, if you never place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to find what execution by God really means. But the only thing about it is you're not going to die. That is, you're not going to stop existing. You're going to live forever and ever and ever in a place that the Bible describes hell as torment, a lake of fire. You see, if you were without Christ in your life, and if you don't have a relationship with Christ in your life, someday you'll be eternally banished. If you refuse the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you'll find what it will be like someday to reject this message that we call the gospel of God. Paul said, I'm not interested in preaching it with flowery words. He said, I'm not interested in preaching in some sort of wonderful intellectual way. He said, because he needed Christ, you know you need Christ. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth needs a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're going to die. Some of us may be closer to death than we ever thought. You may have even been told you're going to die. The only difference is every one of us are terminal. You may know when your term is. I'm going to die, you're going to die. But here's the thing, the soul that sinneth, if you don't have a relationship with God, and when you look at the crucifixion, you get a picture of what the Father must do, what God must do to every sin. He must execute it. You know, when you look at the last book of the Bible, to all who have refused to accept Christ and rejected the crucifixion, and there's going to be masses of them. I wonder how many people I've preached through over the years that are now dead and in hell because they rejected the crucifixion. I wonder even relatives that I know and love, but they rejected the crucifixion. You see, the Bible says to those who are perished, the cross is foolishness. To you, you may think the cross is foolish. When you end up in hell, you'll find out that it was the power of God to your salvation, but you chose to reject it, you chose to rebel against it, and you're now finding your place in eternal abyss called hell. There is no salvation to life but through Jesus Christ. There is no morality that will get you to heaven. You cannot pay yourself to heaven. You cannot work yourself to heaven. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that you have life and you have it abundantly. Jesus said, I came into my own and they didn't receive me. He said, but whoever did, John chapter 1 verse 12, he said he gave them the power to become the Son of God. Isn't it something to think about this? If you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ, think about this. I am a son of the Most High God. God is obligated to listen to me. You say, now wait just a minute. I don't know about that. I do. He said it. When he said it, that settles it. You see, I don't think it'd be odd to call my dad up, say, how's things going? Called him this morning, talked to him, and I said, we can. We're going to try to come over for a little while this afternoon. He said, come right on. And he said, we got the dessert. So he said, now, get over here, eat a little bit, but he said, save some. Listen, this God who created you loves you. But here's the thing about it. He won't make anybody be saved. You know, I think about people who I know they gave no evidence of salvation. They had to fight against the preaching of the Word of God, the songs of God. Think about this. If you're lost this morning and in this fellowship, think what you have to fight over to go to hell. You'll have to resist every message you've ever heard. You'll have to resist every song you've ever heard, every special music you've ever heard, the preaching on the radio, the teaching on the radio, other things that you've heard. You'll have to go over all of that. God's not going to make it easy for you to go to hell, but you can. All you have to do is reject the gospel of God. And you reject it and you put it off and you put it off. And then you breathe your last breath and you find yourself in a place called hell. And there's no second chance for you. You're there forever. You never get an opportunity to get out. The Bible says it's eternal, unending. That's why Paul wanted to preach to as many as he could. That's why you and I need to bear witness, because the Bible says it's the power of God unto salvation. Are you not glad if you're a child of God, you're not going to go to hell? I think about this. God forbid it happen, but if I have an accident on the way home or on the way to Tennessee or wherever, you know what? I can't die and go to hell. You know, you hear some people say that derogatory. Why don't you just go to, and if you're a Christian, somebody tells you that, I'm sorry, I can't. Why don't you just, I can't. No way. And they look at you a little bit funny. What do you mean you can't? Wonderful opportunity to bear witness to them. Listen, the Bible says he came for you. What was it going to benefit him to die a bloody death? Listen, you look at the cross, it's senseless. Unless it's exactly what Jesus said, and it is. It's the power of God to salvation. And I think about those of you that have recently been saved. And I think about Dan as he sung the song of God, can sing the praises of God. And I think of others and Brad and some of the others and that have come to faith in Christ and Jerry and some of the others. Listen, it doesn't matter come what may because we're children of the living God because we have the risen Christ living on the inside of us. It's the power of God to salvation. But if you reject it, words can't describe what you're going to encounter. Words can't describe what your future is going to be. Words can't describe. God just simply says in Revelation, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, nobody will make you feel your need for Jesus. But here's what God says. If your name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, you, my friend, will be cast into hell. You will be cast into the lake of fire. You say, Pastor, I don't like that. But aren't you glad God is honest enough with you to tell you the absolute unvarnished truth? You see, somebody that doesn't really love you, they won't tell you the truth. They'll tell you what you want to hear. God the Father will never do that. He loves you, but he will tell you the absolute, divine, holy truth. And if you don't like it, it may very well be you need a relationship with God through Christ. Well, what else does the message of the cross say? You know, the Bible makes it very clear. It reveals that God has a plan to rescue man. Think about this. If Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross, you must die and go to hell. I must die and go to hell. If you did not have Jesus Christ living on the inside of your life, and if he didn't come to die on the cross, you see, the Bible says, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says that he made him to be sin. Listen, Jesus didn't have any sin, but he poured every bit of sin in the world on him, all the sin of all mankind. You say, Pastor, explain it. I can't. I can just tell you, he became sin. The most wicked, the most vile, the most ungodly, that's what he became. For all mankind, back to the race of Adam, to Adam, all the way to the end of the age. Jesus just didn't come to die for sin. He became sin, the Bible says. Paul goes on to say, since one man brought sin into the world, Adam brought sin into the world, one man gives you and me a chance to be redeemed. One man, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's a big deal what you believe. It's not Muhammad that's going to get you to heaven. It's not Hindu. It's not all that. Listen, there's only one person. There's only one place where there's an empty grave, and that's in Jerusalem where a man by the name of Jesus, some called him Christos, some called him Christus, some called him Messiah, but there's only one person that can redeem you, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, you know, we glamorize it. But next, it reveals that only God can rescue man. Let me ask you a question. If you're lost, why don't you just go ahead and save yourself? Think about this logically for a moment. If you're an unbeliever and don't know God and don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you can save yourself, do it. Prevent yourself from dying. Prevent yourself from going to hell. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and save yourself. Here's the reality of the bankruptcy of our heart. We know we cannot. I remember as a little boy, knowing and realizing I was a sinner. I was riding on the school bus, and this thought kept going through my mind. If you die, you'll go to hell. If you die, you'll go to hell. And I thought the horror. I thought, I never knew much of hell. I just knew what preacher said, and I knew it wasn't good. And if I could have saved myself, I would have. But here's the thing that I knew in my heart, and you know in your heart. You cannot save you. Mankind would save themselves. They would. They'd pay to get paid out of hell. And some are doing that. They're trying to pay the priest. They're trying to do all of this. Listen, you cannot pay anybody. You can't do anything because the Bible says it's by the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. You can't. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Paul talks to Timothy, he says, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came to save sinners. See, the truth of God is you can't save yourself. The crucifixion is a reminder that mankind cannot save themselves. Find somebody that believes they can save themselves, and you'll find somebody that when they die, they will be amazingly surprised because they'll find out they believed a lie. And the truth about it is many, many are believing a lie. Many believe, oh, I'm going to try to do good. God's going to look at my good, and he's going to look at my bad, and he's going to outweigh the good from the bad, and because of that, I'm going to go to heaven. There's only one big problem with that. Where is it in the Bible? Well, you say, that's what I believe. Let me ask you this. Is God going to determine eternity by your belief? Never. By the word of the living God. You see, the Bible says it requires the precious blood of Christ. Listen to what Peter said. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You can't buy your way to heaven. The crucifixion is a reminder that it takes God. But why Jesus? Why not just some good man? Because the nature of God requires a perfect sacrifice. Think about this. Who on the earth was perfect? Whose blood was perfect? Who had never said a flawless word? A guile word, a sinful word. The Bible says Jesus became sin. And that day and time and even now, they would have what was called a sin offering. Sin offering in which that bullock or that ram was laid on the altar. And one of the first things is they would slit its throat and the blood would trickle down over the altar. Because that blood was a shadow of the forecoming of Christ. Lest you think you can live and behave anyway. Don't you ever forget you were not purchased with just something light. You were purchased by the blood of Jesus. When you think, well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. It's the shed blood of Christ plus nothing. You say that all I've got to do is believe in Jesus and he's the only means of my salvation. That's exactly right. It's not believing plus behavior. It's the shed blood of Christ alone. Paul said it was the blood of Christ that saved me. Number five, it reveals that God loves man irregardless of the degree of his sin. I cannot comprehend the crucifixion like I want to. When I get to heaven, I'll know more of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, and I can't wait to try to know it better. Because in this body, in this flawed body, we're locked out. There's a lot of things we cannot know and cannot understand. But, you know, sometimes we think the cross of Christ might be some accident. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He said everybody's going to worship him. Whether your name's in the book of life or not in the book of life, every knee shall bow to the glory of God the Father. But it goes on to say that this Jesus 2,000 years ago went to a cruel cross, and it was planned from the foundation of the world. You see, listen very carefully. Your sin is not an accident in the economy of God. Next time you botch it and blow it and blunder all over the place, it was not an accident. And I'm not saying God condones it by any stretch of the imagination. Did God know what you was going to do? Absolutely. Can you imagine God in heaven saying, whoops, he knew everything you was going to do. But over your life, is mark this word, forgiven. Forgiven. Wouldn't it be horrible? And here's the horror of it. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that every person on the face of the earth can potentially go to heaven? You say, Pastor, did you say everybody was going to heaven? No, I didn't say that. But they can, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that, what's the next word? Whosoever believeth in him. Every person in the face of the earth could go to heaven if they'd place their faith in Jesus. Here's the horror of it. There's going to be masses that won't. There's going to be masses that for some reason the devil's going to lie to them and say, you've got to give up this and you've got to give up that and you're going to miss out on a good time. Listen, some of you shared about your testimony, your life before Jesus and your life afterwards. One of the things that I enjoyed just hearing said, I wouldn't have that again for if my life depended upon it. Why? Because, listen, Jesus is not lying. He said, I came that you could have life. Do you believe the Father is lying when he says, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to perish? Do you believe that God is lying when he says that unless you place your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will perish? The Bible says to those who are perishing, the cross is foolishness. You will find someday the seriousness of God if you reject the cross, if you reject the crucifixion. That one thief on the cross, as he was dying, I'm anxious to see him and talk to him. He committed a capital offense, and he was worthy of that capital offense. And Jesus didn't try to get him off. But he had crossed over the deadline. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. He didn't cross over the deadline of God's forgiveness. As he was dying on that cross, he looked at Jesus and he said, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Now, one of them tried to get himself saved. The others didn't try. He said, we're getting what we deserve. We deserve to be hung and we're being hung. We deserve to be executed. We're getting executed. But here's what that man knew. He said, Lord Jesus, would you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? And I love what Jesus said. He didn't say, I'll think about it. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what Jesus was saying? He said, you've asked me to forgive you, and I'm going to forgive you. You don't have long to live, but you recognize your need for me, and you're going to be in heaven. Are you saying, Pastor, that a person can commit a capital offense, and if they're genuine and mean business with God on their deathbed, they can be saved? Yes, but hear me very carefully. I wouldn't run that risk. Who knows you're going to be conscious? I meet people week after week who their consciousness is no more. They can't talk to me and I can't talk to them, but they're laying there breathing. They're laying there, their heart's beating. But they don't know anyone is a million miles around. And their conscience, their mind, is pretty much gone. You see, Luke 23 says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus knew what this man had done. Let me ask you a question. Have you done something deserving of execution? You say, well, it's not been that bad. You ever murdered somebody? Kill somebody? Maybe you have and nobody knows. Do you think God doesn't know? Do you think the Father doesn't know what's going on in your life in the privacy of your own heart? Do you think he doesn't know? Do you think he doesn't know all those secret things that go on? Do you think he doesn't know that? Do you think that you're an exception? Do you think that somehow that this does not apply to you? Do you think that somehow that, I know what the Bible says, but I know I'm trying to do the best I can, and I just don't believe that. That's one of Satan's biggest traps. You're an exception to the rule. No one's an exception. No preacher, no leader, nobody's an exception. If you don't have Jesus Christ, look at the cross and you'll find out what will happen to you. You will be eternally executed. You say, Pastor, that's hard. That's the message of the crucifixion. All.